All right, well, here we are. We're in 2026, and this is my first Sunday here in the pulpit with you in this year. And I want to talk to you about seasons and times, because there are seasons in life, just like there are seasons of you know, nature, weather, so forth. In particular, I want to talk to you about the time we live in. Now, this is not an end times message, okay? I just have some thoughts I want to share. And this is where it begins, because, you know, you talk to people and sometimes they get a little too anxious, a little too filled with worry. And the first thing I want to ask them is, how much news TV are you watching anyway? Because that'll do it. That in and of itself. But there are other issues in life that we have to deal with. So I want to begin here, and it is all connected, but leading to a particular point this morning that I hope you will find valuable, although it's not new or novel. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, John says, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. And there are many today, by which we know that it is the last hour." Now, not only that, but Jesus also said, you remember, he said that before he returns, he says that many will come in my name and say that I am he, people claiming to be the Messiah. And so just as there are many people who seek to draw following after themselves and do that, so there are many antichrists who in that spirit come in. So let's drop down to chapter 4, 1 John. It says in verse 1, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out to the world." Now, just a minute here, because too often we look at this. I don't think I do the scripture any harm, nor to you, if you will also include in your understanding of what a prophet is, you could add prognosticator, people who predict things, or let me just say it, it's all the experts, quote unquote, you see on TV. You know what an expert is, don't you? Somebody who can tell you tomorrow why he was wrong today. There are many, and again, you know, when we say false prophets, false experts, doesn't mean that they're not genuine experts. It just means that they're wrong, false. They've gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus let me read that again. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because, listen, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You don't be intimidated by these things. You get your eyes where they need to be, upon Jesus. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So, you know, we look at our world today, and, you know, every generation has said, you know, things are getting worse and worse. And, you know, you can go back hundreds of years, people have said things. But I'm telling you, there is something different now. And It's not necessarily novel as it's never happened before, but things are unique, and it all goes back to 1948, whenever Israel became a nation again. And that was kind of the point at which things begin to change a little bit. And so it's very easy, especially in the day we live in, to look at our culture here, even in the United States. And, you know, people ask, why does it seem, Pastor, that everything is going down the toilet? Well, I'll tell you, and it has to do with, it says in the verses we read that, you know, they are from the world. These experts, these prophets, therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. So the question we have to ask us is, who are we listening to? But here is the key right here, and it goes back to an Old Testament prophecy, a prophet named Hosea, who said this about one of the particular tribes of Israel, but the application is not just for them. It applies to our situation today. It says, Ephraim is oppressed, and actually he's oppressed and he's an oppressor. But, and notice this, he's broken in judgment. That means his ability to make right and sound judgments, decisions, to think rightly, he's broken. And there are people, their thinking is broken today. And let's find out why. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in his ability to make decisions, broken in judgment. Why? Because he willingly made a decision to turn away from God, to live by, walk by human understanding, human precept. The world speaks and the world hears their own. But anytime you begin to deny the existence of God and his impact upon our world, then thinking begins to erode. So why does it seem like things are going down the toilet? I'm laying a foundation here because I want you to understand something, because I don't want you panicking. I don't want you fearful because there's no reason to be. And it's not just the occult, oh, yes, Pastor, I know. God's got it all under control. Okay? No, I want you to see how God has it under control and your role in it, okay? In Revelation chapter 1, Revelation, the first few words there are going to tell us what the book of Revelation is about. It's not about the world going to hell in a handbasket and Satan having a heyday. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Read those first few words with me again. Revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the theme of the book. Okay, you got to keep that in mind, which God gave him to show to his servants, things which must shortly take place. Now, let's mark the word shortly here, because this is a word that means quickly or suddenly coming to pass. It's indicating the rapidity of execution after the beginning takes place. In other words, cultural changing events happen like the flushing of a toilet. You say, oh, Pastor, really, are you going back to your junior high things again? No, I decided I was not going to get you a little video of a toilet being flushed, but I did decide to do this one. It's a marble. And this marble, I want you to notice, as you all know what's going to happen, it starts out, goes round and round. But as it gets toward the end, what happens? It moves faster and faster, doesn't it? Wasn't that fun? Okay, So the point of all this is that shortly, and as we're going to read in Scripture here a little bit later in the book of Revelation, I'm just for example, shortly or quickly, this means that it happens suddenly. It starts out slowly, but whenever it's about time for it to happen, things begin to move, things begin to happen. And the things that really mess up culture-changing events, they start out slow, but events happen more rapidly, like the end of a flush or like a marble going down the funnel. Again, the idea is not that the events may occur soon, but that when it does happen, it will be sudden. So, for instance, when Jesus says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, he says, "And behold, I am coming quickly." People, they seem to struggle with that. Well, gosh, it's been 2,000 years. And what does quickly mean to God, you know? No, it means when Jesus come, it's going to happen suddenly. When I come, it's going to happen suddenly. Which ties back in, read this one with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where the scripture says, "Now, brothers, about the times and seasons or dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly. As labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled." Now, anytime Scripture starts repeating itself, it's important. There's only a few times in Scriptures where people's names are repeated twice. Martha, Martha, you're troubled about many things. Anytime somebody's name is mentioned twice, pay attention. Okay? Anyway, let's be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Okay? Helmet, what does it protect? Your head, right? Which represents our thinking. You have to remember that your help, remember, salvation is not just to be understood as, oh yes, Jesus died for my sins, and if I receive him, I get to go to heaven. That is true, but that is such a narrow understanding of what salvation is. Salvation includes so much more. It's help from heaven when you need it. Moses stood at the Red Sea, and people griping, complaining behind him. The Egyptian army's coming after him. He says, "Behold, see the salvation of the Lord." He wasn't saying, "Hey, we're going to heaven now." He said, "No, watch." And the waters parted and they went across on dry ground. That was the help they needed. Salvation has a much broader context than that, and we always need to keep that in mind. So we need to keep the helmet of salvation. We need to protect our salvation, our thinking by understanding the fullness of salvation, because it's so easy to say, "Well, you know, I could pray and trust God, but it seems so hard. I'll just go to the bank and get a loan." Well, there's times God may tell you to go to the bank and get a loan. Nothing against that. But if God is telling you, "Trust me," you need to trust the Lord. We live in a world that's filled with attractions, and quite frankly, most of them are just distractions. To adjust your thinking so that you think like the world thinks. Everywhere there's another advertisement. There's a headline, a quick fix for this. Clickbait abounds. And most people are already filled with worries about the inability to change or control our circumstances. But what do? There's some things you can't go to YouTube and find a YouTube video on how to fix it. And usually they're the more important things in life. Listen, let me just tell you right now, this is very simple, but you start with the things that you can control. Get your eyes off of what you can't control and get your eyes on what you can control. And you can control what you give your attention to. You get to choose what you fixate on, what you meditate, what you think on constantly, and what you allow to consume you. When we give our attention to the world's ways of solving problems instead of God's ways, eventually it leads to death and destruction. Proverbs 14:12 says there's a way that seems right to human thinking, a man, but in the end it leads to death. Not just physical death, but also death of relationships, death of opportunities, death of freedoms. But you know what? We can choose life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses." Now, right now, choose life so that you and your children may live. Listen to me. Choices are based on what you believe. And what you believe has the greatest potential for good or harm in your life. Beliefs are important. What you believe about God, what you believe about yourself, your family, what you believe about others, it determines your choices in relationship to them. So, are you choosing to give God your attention in the situations that you're dealing with right now to find out what He has to say? In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I'm going to read this from the Message version because I think it's great. But don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Jeremiah the prophet said it like this, "I know, O Lord, that man's way is not in himself." You're not going to find it. Oh, if you just go deep inside and you'll find it there somewhere. "Nor is it in man who walks to direct his steps." When people are walking in darkness, you know what happens when people walk in darkness? They get hurt. Think about you walking around your house in the middle of the night and you stub your toe. And as the old joke goes, so many people, "Oh God, what are you trying to teach me? Turn on the lights." Okay, well anyway, when your thoughts are consumed with confusion and all you feel is the instability and uncertainty of your situation, what's going on in your life, it's time to get back into the Word of God and focus on what He says. Direct your attention there. Let God's Word consume you. Because you know what? You know what it's like. Every one of us know what it's like to be filled and consumed and eaten up with worry, concern, fret, being anxious about things that are happening that you seem to have no control. And I'm telling you, the things that you don't have control of, because see, mostly what we want to do is we want to control other people, don't we? If my kid just wouldn't do that anymore, you know, or start doing this, you know, it goes on and on. My husband, my wife, you know, my boss, co-workers, people I go to school with, you know, whatever. You can't control other people. God does not give us that opportunity. That's witchcraft. That's what witchcraft tries to do, is to control other people. But that's not God's ways of doing things. You focus on what you do. So you need to stop the things, Lord, I can't control what's going on out here, but I'm not going to let worry and fear consume me. I'm going to come to your word, and I'm going to be consumed by your word. I'm going to fill myself so full of your word. And that's going to fill you with peace. Remember what Jesus said. He's being tempted by the devil. And, you know, he hadn't eaten for 40 days. And Satan comes to him and says, well, okay, Son of God guy, won't you turn these rocks into bread? Jesus answered in Matthew 4:4, he said, it is written, man shall not live by natural things, bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You need to hear God. And if you're having trouble hearing God, all I can tell you is you need to spend more time in God's word, because doing that is going to put the ability to hear God's voice inside you. Proverbs 15:14 says, a wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool feeds on trash. If you want to change your life, stop feeding on trash, the things that you've been feeding on, what you've been watching, what you've been reading, the things you're talking about. You need to start feeding on the truth. I got news for you. The 24-hour news cycle portrays everything as important. And it's not. It's not. You can go weeks without the news. Oh, but Pastor, I got to keep my eye on what those rascally Republicans are up to, or those dastardly Democrats. Somebody's got to be watching. Yeah, and your watching does what? Do you have a job in Washington, D.C.? Do you have any contact with these people at all? Oh, Pastor, you ought to see me. I mean, I go to town on my social media. I just give them both barrels. And you're a living legend in your own mind, aren't you? I promise you, you're spending some time talking to God about what's going on in our country. Because I got news for you. I don't care which side of the aisle. I've testified my politics are somewhat conservative. But I got news for you. It doesn't matter if it's Democrats or Republicans. For the most part, none of them are on our side. You can name about a dozen that might be, but overall, no, they're not. And if you're putting your trust in, oh, what's government going to do for me next? You want to live that way? Good luck. Yeah. But my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory, not according to the economy of the United States. Amen. Well, Pastor, what if it doesn't matter? You know, God still has the recipe for manna. I mean, Elijah, he sent ravens to feed him flesh. Okay, you got anything else besides birds who are digging off dead deer? Listen, whatever God sends me, I know that it's going to be blessed and it'll be okay. But anyway, my point is, listen to me. You can go a week, you can go many, many weeks without listening to news. I've done it. And I'm still alive. Look at that. But listen to me. Hear me. You don't hear anything else. You need to hear this. You cannot continue to follow Jesus without hearing from him. I don't care what you tell me about, oh, yes, I love Jesus. Listen, if you're not hearing from the Lord, you're not following him. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And a stranger, another, they will not follow. Got to hear his voice. So what are you doing to intentionally hear God's voice? I was actually reading it. I wasn't looking for it, but it came across in a couple of different blog post, and apparently, like the 7th or 8th day of January, I'm not familiar with this at all, so some of you may have to help me, but apparently there's a name for it, and I should have looked it back up. But they call, in other words, it's the day that people who made New Year's resolutions are already starting to realize I'm in trouble. Man, it's only the 8th day, but I didn't realize it was going to cost me this. I mean, getting up an hour early to exercise, whoa, man, I can hardly stay awake at school or at work, and it's just too much. And this diet, man, that's over. People start realizing that it's not as easy as they thought. But I promise you, anything good in life is going to cost you something. Good things just don't get handed to you. They don't fall out of the sky. You can't continue to follow Jesus without hearing from him. So what do we need to do? Well, the Apostle Paul put it like this in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Exercise. Oh, no, I don't like that word. Notice this. And it's not even the understood you. He puts it in there so to make it clear. Exercise yourself toward godliness. What are you doing to exercise yourself toward godliness? Well, Pastor, I'm here today, aren't I? Good. Yeah, and I know. And all kidding aside, I know for some of you it was not easy to get here today. There's opposition. You didn't want to come here today. Somebody kept encouraging you to come. Exercise yourself toward godliness. That means it's something with intentionality, something that you set aside time to do. Oh, I know. How about giving up 15 minutes of news and audio Bible? Some of you say, well, I'm not a good reader. Okay, audio Bible. The YouVersion, Life Church out of Oklahoma City, is free. Just about every translation is available on that app, and there's an audio version of it. You can listen to it. You're driving to work or school. Why are you listening to the news? Well, you know, because that's what everybody's going to talk about around the water cooler, and I need to know. No, you don't. Because all you're going to do is just say, yeah, I heard that too, and well, it was bad politicians, this, that, whatever. Why don't you try listening to God's word? It's just a suggestion. Exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little. I'm glad for the little that it does profit me. But godliness, listen to this. Godliness is profitable for all things, not only in this life, but in the life to come. It has the promise of life, bringing life to your life that you're living right now. Not just pie in the sky, in the sweet by and by when you die, but right now too. Bonus. You get a bonus here. This life and the life to come is what happens when you engage in this now. Speaking of fasting, the book of Ezra. Ezra was leading a group of people out of Persia back to Israel, and they realized they needed help. But instead of turning to the king, the government, whatever, it says this in verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God. The purpose of this fast was to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. Your stuff. Listen, God cares about your stuff. He doesn't care if you have stuff. He doesn't want to have stuff to have you. He doesn't want it controlling your life. He doesn't want you panicking about your stuff. Can I let you in a little secret? Somebody rips you off, somebody steals something from you, you know, break into your shed and took all your valuables out of there. If you just be at peace and say, Lord, I count this as an offering unto you. I promise you, you watch God move and work in your life. Now, see, once you give something to God, it's no longer yours. No longer your control. I don't have to worry about this anymore. And let me tell you something. You have not been ripped off until you've been ripped off by another Christian. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yep. But like I said, you don't have to get mad at people. See, our battle's not with flesh and blood, is it? No. And so you say, God, count this as an offering to you. My wife was going to fly to visit a cousin in the Northwest several years ago, and Nate and his twin brother. We have Holly then, too. I don't know. Dropped Mom off at the airport, and this was the old airport, and they had a Hardee's or something up there. Anyway, I had a little over $150 in my pocket, and one of them was a $100 bill. And I told the kids, when we leave, drop Mom off, we'll come back and we'll buy fireworks. And I get there, and I don't have that $100 bill in my pocket because I'm holding a young one, and I've got 2 6-7-year-olds, whatever. And I know it fell out of my pocket there. And I'm telling you, just to say, Lord, I count that as an offering unto you. Count it as an offering to you. I'm telling you, I'm not going to take time, but what God blessed me back with. I mean, it's tempting just to go dropping $100 bills around. You know, you understand there's some things money can't buy. There's some things that money cannot buy in life. Money doesn't heal a broken heart. Money doesn't restore a strained relationship. There's so many things that money doesn't buy. And yet our world revolves around money. People want to control the money. And that's what politics is all about. I don't know why I'm going so deep into politics, but I'm just telling you, you can do it the way the world does things, the way the world thinks, listening to the world, and you'll struggle like the world does. You'll live in fear. But you can trust God, who is always faithful. He's good all the time. And he never changes. When you consistently take in God's word into your thinking, let it shape your thinking. As I said before, you're putting God's voice into your life. And as you do this consistently, as with an exercise regimen, before long, you begin to respond to life circumstances the way that God would respond. So, if you haven't started, it's never too late. I would encourage you to start reading. Get a Bible reading plan. Again, YouVersion Bible app, YouVersion app, has Bible reading plans. There's a lot of them. Something that I found helpful for those of you who for years you've just started in Genesis and gone right through, nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I've just found it interesting to do a chronological Bible reading. So when you read, you know, David is, he's pretending to be insane because he recognized in the country he's in, the king and the powers that be all of a sudden are looking at him like, this guy could be our enemy, we should do something. So he pretends to be insane. You know, he wrote a psalm about that. What was it, Psalm 34, I think it is. So when you're reading this about David's life, then the psalm reading for that day is going to be about that. So it kind of puts it all together chronologically. It's kind of cool. So there are chronological Bible reading plans. You say, Pastor, I don't know about any of that. Listen, you can take out in your communication card, if you haven't already put it in the offering, you can put it in one of the boxes back, but just check. I want to receive the 775 email. And what that is, 5 days a week, I will send you approximately 7 Bible verses. So it'll be right there in your email, so you have it on your phone, you have it on your computer, and whenever you have a few minutes, you can read. But regardless of how you do Bible reading, read slowly. In fact, let me just share with you quickly five things that you should look for, that you should focus on when you're reading. This is basic, but it's very helpful. When reading God's word, look, the obvious thing is look for commands to obey. God says, this is right, this is wrong. Oh, okay, I'll agree with that. Go there. You look for lessons to be learned. What's the lesson? I mean, the New Testament tells us in two different places the things that were written in the Old Testament were written there as an example for us that we don't do the same stupid things they did. Because there's a lot of stupid things people did in the Old Testament. There's a lot of people who did good things too. But anyway, promises to be enjoyed. You know, there are over 7,000 Bible promises, and they're all yours, waiting to be fulfilled in your life. The person who will take it, read it, and believe it. You want to see Jesus. You want to see Jesus. Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus is there. He's the central theme of the entire scripture. And then as Nate likes to point out, you need to see how you can be the good guy, which most of us don't have a problem of doing, but also, how am I the bad guy in this story that I'm reading? If you only see yourself always as the good guy, you'll never learn, because you know what? I don't know about you, but I'm not always that good. Sometimes I'm just like the people who turned their back on the Lord and walked away and tried to do my own thing. And you see what happens there. How am I like the good and how am I like the bad? Can I just tell you something? Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff going on in our world. But you can be at peace by focusing upon the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And He's given to us Scripture, His Word. You know, you don't drown by falling into water. You drown by staying there. If you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. Every year, every day brings a possibility for change, a change in the way we think. Well, I've just always thought this way. Well, maybe the way you're thinking is wrong. Take it and compare it to Scripture. Everybody can justify themselves until another comes and searches them out. Don't quit on God, because God's not quitting on you. I don't care where you've been, what's happened in your life, the things that you've done that you're ashamed of, anything out of your past. At Family of Faith, that's not our focus. Our focus is, which way are your feet pointing now? Where you've been doesn't matter. Are you turned toward Jesus? If you are, we'll lock arms with you and we'll walk with you together. And if you still stumbling in a few areas, we will help you back up. Let's all stand, would you?